to the House Geeks Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. I'm Kirk Duckwall. Joining me is Chad Vandelot. We are the House Geeks. Also in studio with us today is Charles Daly from iLoan. Thank you so much for coming in. We're going to talk today about financing types and financing news. This is something that's always changing. So whatever you thought was the case a couple years ago is different from what it was last year and the new things that are happening this year. So, you know, listen to the show. I'm sure you'll pick up a lot of great information. If you have any questions for us, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. You can also check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com. We have lots of great researching tools and resources, tons of videos on there to help get you ready for your next home purchase or home sale, or just keeping track of what the Twin Cities market is doing. You can also watch us on Facebook. Just type in House Geeks, look for the little house and the glasses. You can see us record live most Tuesdays around noon. So, want to get into the different types of financing that are available. You know, quite often, I do a huge sector of the first-time home buyer market. And so many people jump to, oh, I'm a first-time home buyer. I should be using FHA, right? And they think that's the first-time home buyer loan. Mm-hmm. And
in most cases, that is the least affordable, and it has the largest down payment out of all loan types.
Right. Yeah, and it, I think to make that, conclusion that that's what we're going to move forward with as our loan type without looking at the other options is one of the big mistakes. We'll get in more to some of the buyer mistakes, but just not really analyzing what loan type might make most sense because, you know, not only do you have FHA, but you have some sub elements to that, different tracks people can go down, and same with conventional as well. So we have FHA, conventional, and VA as the main ones. So,
and rural development.
And rural development. That one gets skipped over a lot in our market when it's actually, you know, especially for people who are looking at the outskirts suburbs, is a great option, especially if you are looking for low down payment options. I mean, next to VA, it's the only one that's zero down, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
That's
so
right. People would be surprised what ends up showing up as eligible under rural development. They might be getting a, you know, townhome in, you know, the southwestern suburbs and look at it and think to themselves, well, it's a townhome. There's nothing rural about it, right? They're thinking about it from standard nomenclature standpoint, and it, lo and behold, it shows up on the map as a geographically eligible area, and then you bring in the income eligible area, you line up one, two, done, zero down.
Right.
It amazes me how many properties out there that are even improperly listed on the MLS as not qualifying for the rural development loan. I made a bunch of calls 2 months ago on homes that said they would accept FHA and conventional and VA that I knew that were clearly in a rural development plot, and the listing agent didn't even know.
Yeah, I mean, so it's something that you want to make sure you have a loan officer and a, you know, if you're working on the buy side, a buyer's realtor that knows this stuff, keeping an eye out for these different options. So, you know, kind of a quick breakdown, you know, FHA, 3.5% down typically. Mm-hmm. There are some variations of that where that can change. We'll get into that shortly. Mm-hmm. But they have that, you know, lifetime mortgage insurance that's built into it. So that's a factor that we're going to talk a little bit about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something a year ago, we were hoping to see that mortgage insurance rates go down on that, which didn't happen. Then you have, and typically FHA is the one where you're going to have the lowest credit score requirements. Mm-hmm. And Charles, what do you usually see regarding where the lenders are starting that bar at for credit score?
It depends. I mean, some lenders have a different appetite for risk than others. For 3.5% down, we'll go down to 580, which is what FHA requires. But a lot of
So 580 is the minimum for an FHA.
Technically, if somebody's putting 10% down, you can go down to 500 now.
Oh, wow.
I'm not seeing any of those I haven't seen anything below 550 get approved with 10% down, but I have, I mean, there was a 554 was a beat up credit score, but the actual content wasn't that bad, and that worked. That one went.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But a lot of people think of it as the affordable, low down payment loan program.
Right.
It is not. From a monthly payment standpoint, if you're putting it side by side with credit scores of 680 or better against a conventional, FHA is going to require 3.5% down. Conventional would require 3, subject to either income eligibility or being a first-time home buyer. Now, the monthly mortgage insurance costs on conventional have come down dramatically. Also, on conventional, you actually have a choice of structuring your mortgage insurance 22 different ways rather than just the one monthly mortgage insurance.
Well, that's something that frustrates me with the industry is you go to the big box, you know, banks.
Some of the big box banks do not have the option of structuring mortgage insurance 22 different ways. They have a limited choice of mortgage insurance products that they are allowed by their employer to offer.
Well, the example that I love to give, you know, with the classes or when I'm talking to new home buyers is, you know, if you go into a, let's say, unnamed big box retailer store and you go to the auto parts section and you start asking them technical questions about auto parts, do you think they're going to know what they're talking about? And you know, I think we know the answer to that, you know, where you really, when shopping out there, want somebody who understands the 22 different ways that, you know, one loan and one piece of a loan structure can be put together. Mm-hmm. So you have FHA, and then you go on to conventional, and you kind of touched on that, that the minimum down payment in this, you know, in most circumstances mm-hmm. is 3% mm-hmm. down, you know, and so often we hear, oh, do you need 20% down to buy a home these days? You know, it's a question that comes up all the time. And the answer is no, because of that mortgage insurance. Obviously,
well, the next thing is, do you need 20% down to get around monthly mortgage insurance?
Right.
Which is also not true. You can, in a very affordable way, like the average credit score in our market, which, by the way, happens to be the highest average credit score in the United States, is 717.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just generally speaking, homeowners and non-homeowners alike. Now, people who are buying, if they have a credit score or of 720 or better and a down payment of 5% or more, but not 20, they don't have to pay monthly mortgage insurance.
Really?
They can do a one-time financed buyout of it, much like VA. In VA, you have a 2.15% funding fee, mm-hmm. typically, but there's that subject to down payment and a few other things, but somewhere in that range. And in exchange for that, there is no monthly mortgage insurance. Now, there is a way to structure a conventional loan the exact same way. Why wouldn't you do that? And so you take somebody with a 720, why on God's earth would they take an FHA loan? Makes no sense. Not ever.
I have a theory about that. FHA, historically, the interest rate was lower than a conventional loan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gap is kind of shrinking a little bit, but what is the number one thing that people shop when they shop mortgages?
The wrong thing.
It's the interest rate.
Right.
So if somebody comes in and they say, I don't have a whole lot of money to put down, I think a lot of those big box companies go right to FHA because they can tell them that right now the interest rate is this, which will be on the lower side and make that lender seem more attractive if they do shop.
Right. It's like, you know, the person who,
without spending any time getting a backstory on their goals and their personal situation and their finances and how long they're going to be in the house.
It's just like wrapping your closing costs into a loan. Oh, I'm making an offer of $250, but yet it actually has the, you know, seller contributions, finance, closing costs, whatever you want to call it, built in. So the seller is actually only getting, you know, $6,000, $7,000 less than that. It's putting a false, you know, putting forth what really isn't the case. And I think people fall for that far too easily and don't look at, you know, what's the end? Where does it come?
I wouldn't word it that way. I wouldn't say people fall for it. I think that when people show up, what they are to a lender, and they're not putting 20% down, what they're expecting is monthly mortgage insurance. and they're given what they're expected. It is a lot of the people in this industry are ex-jock, former gym membership salespeople, okay, with a Cheshire Cat grin and a glad hand. And what they want to do is get in and out of that, you know, as quickly as possible. They don't want to get into the technicals. They don't want to slow down the process for educate. I mean, all of those things are potential problems for them as salespeople. Now, no one's expecting to walk into an appointment and be like, oh, hey, how about you put 5% down and, you know, structure your loan like a VA loan and have no monthly mortgage insurance. They're like, wait, what? And, oh, by the way, all I'm going to need is a copy of a photo ID and some digitally signed documents and you're done. And they're like, you know, usually my biggest problem, they don't believe me.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, to take the time to educate the consumer, I think is such a huge asset to anyone in this industry that you're only doing good by the consumer. Taking that little extra time to show the options is, I think, critical, because then they understand. You're not going to go to the closing table going, what? Wait, I didn't understand, you know, and they were just being pushed this, you know, perfectly packaged, you know, fits inside a box loan versus what actually, you know, meets their needs. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit more about the conventional loans, VA, maybe talk a little bit more about the rural development, and then some of the news that's happened. If you have any questions, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Check us out online at housegeeks.com. We'll be right back. Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make, so keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388, or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll do a live show from Alabama as I take a road trip through the South where, as an out transgender woman, I'll talk publicly about the need to let people live as who they truly are. You'll hear how the trip's going in real time. I've got a vision of a better America where everyone has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0. Engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting homebuyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
It was listening to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. Today, we're talking about financing types and financing news. We have Charles Daly with iLoan in studio with us today. If you have any questions for us, you can give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Happy to help answer any of your questions. We were talking about during the break there about people taking the time to have an in-depth conversation. And, you know, in society today, you know, it's this text message, you know, run, run, run. I got work. I got kids. I got to get over to the new microbrew to try whatever. You know, if people are busy and they don't want to think about it. I remember, Charles, you told me years ago that people spend more time shopping for their TV than they do shopping for a loan.
And that's not anecdotal. That's a statistical fact.
Yeah. Yep. And so, you know, I think having that conversation, picking up the phone, because you may not have the questions now, but you will have the questions later. And I've always been of the mentality, I always say to my clients when we're out and about and we start this process, any question you have, ask me. I don't want you to think that I'm doing something and may have malintent to it or whatever. Why is he doing this? I don't understand it. You know, and a lot of people will keep quiet. I say, ask me. Ask me why, because I have a reason why I'm doing it. And just as you have a reason, you do what you're doing. It's to look at what is best for our clients. And I think that's an approach that, you know, it helps if the client understands they can pick up the phone and make that call and should make that call.
Do you know what's interesting about that, though? There is one demographic that isn't like that, that actually does like the old school face-to-face.
The millennials?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody, I think they've got this generation wrong. They're like, oh, you know, they can't save money. They're not conservative with their finances. They want a degree of separation in their communication. No. Their savings rate is phenomenal. Their decision making with respect to what their idea of a comfortable monthly payment and a comfortable down payment is very conservative. They walk into these things making sure that they have high net disposable income. And they really like face to face. They'll take a video conference, but they want my camera on so they can look me in the eye, right? But I actually, I think people are getting them wrong.
Well, yeah, I definitely see that when you bring up the point about being careful of the finances. You know, so often you look back and it was, oh, what can I qualify for? What can I buy? How much can I go up to? Now it's the, well, I'm qualified for up to this, but I don't want to be there. I don't want that payment. Mm-hmm. That, you know, what I say is, yeah, you don't want to be house poor. That's not what you want, because look at what happened to the people that did that.
I don't tell people what their maximum qualification is unless they ask.
Right.
I ask them for the high and low range of their comfortable monthly payment, the high and low range of their comfortable down payment, you know, in a fantasy land, if they found their perfect house, how far would they be willing to extend that? And then I take that information and I reverse engineer that into a target purchase price or target monthly payment, one or the other. And then that's what they build their home search around. Because a lot of times, if I were to tell them what they actually qualify for, it'd be like 80 grand more or something like that.
Well, talking about monthly payment, you know, the Home Spotter tool is really, really great. We talk about that with in respect to easy way to quickly figure out what are these homes actually you know, going to cost you on a monthly basis. And so, you know, if you are out there, you're thinking about it, go to thehousegeeks.com, click on the download the app, because, you know, this is the tool that we're using as agents out there. It's nice and easy to work with. You can see the payments, you can see real time, you know, any price changes, all that. And going back to that, keeping informed on what is out there and what things cost. I mean, that's what I hate about some of these tools that they have. You know, you go to your Zillows, your Trulias, and whatnot, and they'll pop up, well, this is what your monthly payment would be, and it's not factoring in everything.
I think that's
what's unique to the Home Spotter app are two things. When you evaluate a monthly payment within a certain property, it will automatically populate the taxes for that property and automatically populate any association dues with the correct amount specific to that property.
You know what's funny, talking about HomeSpotter, is that I don't know if you saw in the MLS, they just released the drive time thing. As a searchable way. HomeSpotter had that first before we even had it in the main thing. So,
one thing to be wary of on that, though, is if you have found through consulting with a loan officer what your best execution of your financing is, it may and actually likely will not match up with that.
Well, yeah, you need to set the parameters, and it will allow you to set PMI. It will allow you to set these different things. But you're right. You need to talk to the loan officer to know the down payment, to know the if mortgage insurance calculation and all that. So, yeah, you could be making assumptions off of that. So that goes back to the, you know, one of the first things you should do is have that sit down with the realtor and your financing and figure that out right away. So, we got off a little off topic there, but going on to, you have FHA, kind of discuss that a little bit, but then you have conventional loans. Conventional loan, or did we ran through conventional, didn't we?
Yeah. We kind of touched lightly on all of them, yeah.
Well, we didn't get into VA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And VA gets overlooked a lot, too, by veterans. And when I don't.
Or foreign service workers.
Yeah.
They're eligible as well.
Mm-hmm. It blows my mind that people don't look at the option. You know, if you served and had honorable discharge, nothing, I think dishonorable doesn't qualify, but that you have this that's available to you. And I mean, I know for myself, what a great option. No mortgage insurance, zero down. Mm-hmm. You know, you do have the funding fee. Charles, can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, there's different types of funding fees. So if so here's another misperception. Like, you can use a VA loan multiple times throughout the course of your life on multiple different properties. In some cases, you can even have more than one VA loan at the same time. For instance, if the balance of one is paid down significantly versus the other one that you would subsequently take. Now, if you're doing it a second time, it would be 3.3% of the loan amount. So that's a lot. If you have a big down payment, like 20% plus, you may want to look at conventional versus VA. But outside of that, you're looking at smaller factors, 2.15, 1.75, depending on the down payment, 2.4%, depending on the level of service. But it's a one-time cost. And if you were to take that one-time cost divided by what would be a normal monthly mortgage insurance factor, that pays for itself in very short order. So 9 times out of 10, somebody who is VA eligible should take a VA loan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, very, very rarely have I seen it where it doesn't make sense. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the nuances with loan limits that we're seeing, new things that are going on with underwriting, talk a little bit about MHFA. This is a down payment assistance program. The question is it really going to assist you or is it going to hinder you? So if you have any questions for us, give us a call, 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park or visit HabitationDesign.com.
Real estate is one of the biggest financial transactions most people ever make. So keep informed. Tune in each week as Bricks Real Estate presents the Twin Cities Real Estate Show, Sundays starting at noon. Kirk Duckwall, Chad Vandelot, and Brian Durham, the House Geeks, will keep you up to date with industry-leading guests, stats, and local market trends. Again, you can catch them Sundays starting at noon on this station or online anytime through the House Geeks Facebook page.
I'm Adam Jennings, and I approve this message. I'm seeking the Democratic endorsement in the 3rd Congressional District because today, more than ever, we need progressive leadership that is unafraid to stand up and fight for the values that make us proud to be Democrats. Healthcare is a right, and that's why I support Medicare for All. As a former member of AFSCME and the United Auto Workers, I know that when people are paid fairly and treated with respect, they become the most productive workforce in the world. That's why I support a federally mandated $15 an hour minimum wage. As a father, I know that our public schools are the key to our future. That's why I oppose taxpayer dollars being diverted from our public schools for things like vouchers and charter schools. Growing up, I watched my family struggle with the loss of a job and bankruptcy. I worked full-time in high school to help make ends meet. I paid my way through college and joined the Minnesota Army National Guard after 9/11. I swore an oath to defend the Constitution, and that oath compelled me to run for Congress. If you want to change from business as usual, and you want to take back your party, then caucus with us on February 6th and send a real progressive voice to Congress.
Paid for by Adam Jennings for Congress.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny and cold with a high near 5. Wind chill values as low as negative 20. Tonight, mostly clear with lows around negative 2 and wind chill values as low as negative 16. Monday, highs of 17 and lows of negative 5. Moe's Tax Service has been working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. They're located in St. Paul and are one of the largest sites to electronically file taxes in the country. Returns are electronically filed the same day, and your refunds are fast and secure. Check out MOHSTax.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you have any questions for us, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. I have Charles Daly in studio with us today talking about financing and financing news. Earlier in the show, talked a little bit about the different types that are out there as far as the main FHA, conventional VA, and rural development. You know, getting into FHA a little bit more, there is some news. They have new loan limits that have come out, which lets you talk more about, Charles.
Well, they just you know, do check out median income and then adjust their loan limits accordingly. And actually, both FHA and conventional have done this for this. We're looking at FHA loan limits of $356,500. And conventional, and this had moved in a while, so I was kind of happy to hear this one, went up to $453,100, up from $417,000.
Isn't that like right at Jumbo? Where's Jumbo at now?
Well, $453,101.
Okay. All right.
But the other nice thing is that product availability for Portfolio Jumbo is continuing to expand. So that used to be very hard to get. But now you're seeing it emerge with 10% down, in some cases 5% down, 15% down without monthly mortgage insurance. I mean, a bunch of good product on the jumbo side.
Well,
and the prices are competitive. In some cases, these jumbo loans are coming up with rates that are slightly better than standard conventional best execution.
Yeah, I've been really surprised with that, the portfolio. How competitive that is. And you know, something that had to be done, because I mean, just look at what's happened to home prices in the Twin Cities. I mean, which brings up, you know, something we were talking about as we were getting ready for the show, which is the housing affordability, that it's making it harder and harder for people to potentially qualify.
Well, I think that that is probably going to change. When they passed the Frank Dodd Act, it made it such that if you were going to obtain financing on a mortgage to buy a home, you had to document your capacity to repay that loan. And when they codified that in law, they basically tied the price of housing to wages and affordability. And as the economy recovered and grew, and we bounced off of that very, very deep collapse in home values. Yeah. Some of that was going to be just a market correction, but the rest of it was going to be, you know, a bit of a market recovery. I mean, we probably turn on the news and, you know, we're going to hear in the State of the Union speech about great unemployment of 4.1% or whatever. Yeah, try being in Minnesota. It's been under 3. I mean, things are good here.
Right.
So Minnesota home values have gone up and up and up. However, there's a certain break point where you – If the home values go 10% above what's considered the wage inflation rate, then that is what's going to trigger a contraction. Some people say a correction. I don't. I think that this is what we have been forecasting, you know, amongst ourselves, happening in the second half of this year, where this rapid rate of appreciation, I think we're going to have a hot spring market again, and that's probably going to be the last bonanza. I think after that, things are going to become more balanced, more sane, more normal, and the rate of appreciation is going to take a hard right, probably in the beginning, maybe north of 2, under 3%. Historically, since 1975, the rate of home appreciation in the Twin Cities has been 4.44%. So we're probably going to move more into a new normal, which will be, normal, rather than this bizarre 7% year-over-year thing. But this should factor into people's home buying decisions, because if they're thinking that they're going to buy a house, sell it, and break even a year and a half, 2 years later, you can forget it. That's not a wise decision.
You got to be really careful with those short-term buys.
Yeah,
that they're, you know, I talk about, you know, I like seeing 5-year minimum. Prefer, you know, if 5-year, you know, potentially 5 to 10 year. 3 years maybe, but now with looking at where we're at, I mean, I've talked about the 13-year cycle. My brother, he mentioned, and I hadn't heard it put this way, but he talks about the 7-year cycle. Well, what's the amount of time that somebody's going to be in their home on average? It's, you know, right around 7 years. So that means that whatever the market is,
it used to be. But that's changed. So, like, right before the crash, the average length of stay in a home was 7.41 years. Mm-hmm. Then we had this crash, and everything got synthetic because there were a lot of people who were stuck in their homes because they were upside down.
Right.
So really evaluating how long somebody was staying in their house behaviorally was not a fair consideration, because some people wanted the heck out and couldn't do it. Right?
You know what's really interesting? I'm going to cut you off real quick.
But we're over 9 years now.
Yeah. Well, and that's – so – I just recently went back because I'm doing updated home assessments of where my clients' houses were at. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at some of the stuff that I did back in 2008, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. These people are still there. Lot of them. Mm-hmm. Very few of my past clients have moved. Mm-hmm. And so, right, you know, that we're talking, you know, 10 years. It seems like people are definitely staying longer. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
And not refinancing. I mean, because when we did that, a lot of those we did with the one-time buyout.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't have the monthly mortgage insurance problem. They did capture good interest rates. So there's a whole bunch of people who are sitting on their homes, sitting on their loans. They're not going anywhere. And good for them. I mean, that's great. Equity, paying down the balance of the mortgage. I mean, that's great. That's how you get a high rate of return on homeownership.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, talking, I want in the next segment, make sure we hit on this, some of the mistakes that people make, along with some of the new underwriting stuff that's going on to kind of protect people, get themselves into a good position. Got a few minutes left in this segment with regards to MHFA, down payment assistance. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like the analogy that I use for foreclosures, the pickled flavored cake. You know, it looks good on the surface, but Charles, you've brought definitely some.
I love pickles.
With well, frosting?
Some people think that, oh, I'm a first-time home buyer, you know, I should go after assistance, almost as though, you know, they're applying for college and they're looking for grants or something. It's not that simple. First of all, the assistance in the down payment assistance from MHFA changed in the 2000s from true assistance to a second mortgage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
And what do we know about second mortgages?
You pay them back.
Yes, and usually they'll affect the first mortgage, right?
Well, yeah, depending on income.
Yes.
And this is where this comes into play. They have different income limits depending on how many people are in the household. If there's one to two, it's $69,000. Three people, $77,000. Four people, $86,000, and so on. Now, that is for what's called the deferred down payment assistance. It's a second mortgage without repayment until you either refinance or sell. No monthly payment, no rate of interest being charged. I think that's fine if you don't have an alternative down payment.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the effective interest rate on the underlying loan, I can beat it without the down payment assistance. So if I'm doing a standard FHA loan, I'm under their rates. If I'm doing a standard conventional loan, I'm under their rates. Now, if you can't meet that income eligibility, there is a monthly payment second mortgage. Sort of nice terms, I guess. I mean, it's got the same rate as the first mortgage, which is low for a second, obvious, and it's amortized over 10 years, and there is a monthly payment. It does get factored into your debt-to-income ratio. The credit score requirements on these are higher. The FHA version is at 650. I mean,
right.
What were we just talking about, 580?
Yeah.
No. So you've got to be highly qualified from a credit standpoint and lowly qualified from a reserve standpoint. And then you really want to hope that you get the deferred one, because the monthly payment is, frankly, I think they're using the interest off the monthly payment one to subsidize the ability to offer the other one. That's just now. Then the realtors got clever to this, because getting these closed, there's a higher fallout rate with these in transactions.
Right.
They
yes.
fall apart in transaction more often than any other loan type, according to the realty community. So they changed the Minnesota Purchase Agreement to force us to disclose which type of financing. If you're going to be using MHFA with down payment assistance, you have to tell the seller that. Make sure that you believe your realtor you guys got to believe that you can be competitive in a seller's market,
right?
But with disclosing MHFA loans in that price point, which more than likely is going to be in the most competitive price point, which is that, you know, 160 to 280 price point. There's more pressure in there than anywhere else.
Now, I don't know if this is a MHFA guideline, but what I tend to see as a listing agent, when I see these come across, is it might be coming from a small credit union, small bank, whatever it might be, and it has these underwriting overlays where they want to see the inspection report and they're line iteming. So I don't know if that's an MHFA thing or if that's something that just that institution is doing.
That's institutions,
right? Well, which is.
They think that they're lawyers or something, and they think that, like, disclosures are part of the purchase agreement or something, and they're not. It explicitly says that in the Minnesota Purchase Agreement. Mm-hmm. All disclosures are not part of the purchase agreement. Hello. But no, they get pretty extra jurisdictional with their thinking and believe that they're entitled to things that
which I think, you know, makes that, you know, even if that's not the case from another lender, you know, if somebody's had those past experiences.
And you know what cracks me up about that? In a lot of cities, you can look that up online, right? And they're asking for a copy. It's like, hey, let me Google that for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to see it.
Well, no, I'm not talking the TISH report. I'm talking the buyer's home inspection report.
Oh, yeah.
They want to see it.
No, they can't.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that, it just, it blows my mind. That. Now, there are a couple other programs out there. There's the Home Possible, Home Ready.
Love them.
We only have a minute left in this segment.
This is why FHA is writing fewer loans.
Right.
Because when they came out with that and revised it, now when they came out with it, it sucked. It was terrible. And then they revised the guidelines later on, and that is a good way. Anybody with a 680 credit score or higher should be looking at this program, and it is not just for first-time homebuyers.
No.
If you make an income of $90,400 or less, you're in.
Right.
You can already own a home, be buying another one, and use this.
Yeah, I mean, the income requirements are a lot.
And there's a lot of areas, geographically, depending on where you're buying, that have no income limits. This is a must-look-at program.
Right. All right, we're going to take another quick commercial break. If you have any questions for us or Charles, give us a call at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Also, check us out online for all the latest and greatest searching and researching tools at housegeeks.com. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Attention real estate agents and homeowners. Did you know that even in a strong market, you can increase your sale price and shorten your time on the market? Check out Summit Staging today and see how many of their staged listings sell for thousands of dollars more than the other comparable homes in the area. With a pay only if it sells pricing, you have nothing to lose. Visit them online at summitstagingllc.com. That's summitstagingllc.com.
AM 950's annual get-together for like-minded progressives is back. Hi, it's Mike McEntee, and the Blue State Ball is March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. I will be there and look forward to talking with you, along with Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, and of course our own Matt McNeil. Plus, expect lots of big-name political guests and candidates. VIP and general admission tickets are on sale now at am950radio.com. Join me, Matt, Norman, and Tom March 10th at the Blue State Ball.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hey, Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park, or visit HabitationDesign.com.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwall from the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. As many of you may know, home values are up for the fifth straight year in our area. Are you now thinking about selling and curious what your home is worth in today's seller's market? Then check out housegeeks.com. At housegeeks.com, you will find the best free home evaluation tools in the Twin Cities. You will also find many other great resources for tracking our market or just your local neighborhood. Again, that is at housegeeks.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. If you have any questions for us after the show, give us a call, 612-207-5388, or submit them online at housegeeks.com. Check us out on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks, look for the little house and glasses. Today, we're here with Charles Daly talking about financing, the different types that are out there, and some of the financing news. Getting to that news part, Charles, there's with the process, that's kind of the big thing that has changed this year, and we started to see this coming into place, or to the talk of it last year, but now it looks like it's getting...
I would love to say that it's going to be this year, but I think that the industry is going to be slow to adopt and adapt to this technology. I think that they're taking it to be something that it is not, and I also think that if they don't adopt and adapt, they're going to end up being insurance salesmen. They're going to be gone. It's that big of an innovation. This is not quite an Uber and Lyft moment, okay? So, like, if you were driving a taxi and Uber came around, all of a sudden you got hurt, right? People really need to get on this, because 2 years from now, the consumers will look for it as a different mortgage experience. And beyond 2 years, I don't know when, maybe four, they'll expect it. And if you're not delivering it to them, you're dead. And in so January of last year, Fannie Mae rolled out this Day One Certainty initiative, and I started screwing around with it in my spare time because it was in the underwriting section of the Fannie Mae website. But the more I looked at it, I was like, I don't see how this works unless it's at the loan officer level point of sale. If it's going to work well and purely and for the benefit of the consumer and the realtor, which I'll get to in a second, then it has to be done there. Now, what the idea is that you can do a detailed online loan application that gets pulled in, and everything – this is not a garbage electronic mortgage, which people sell all the time. They're like, oh, yeah, you can apply online, and then there's an online portal that you can upload documents to. No.
Like missile mortgage or whatever?
This is like no documents required, okay, except for photo ID. You got to verify your identity. But after that, the in a lot of cases, in most cases I'm seeing, employment, income, assets getting verified electronically. I'm seeing more appraisal waivers.
Right.
Okay. So when people are writing an offer on a property, do you even need an appraisal?
Right, right.
And we're going back into the day when some of them are like, yeah, no, we're fine with the value on this property. So there's really no paperwork to provide.
So this this isn't the old no-doc loan.
I'm docking it.
Right.
I'm docking it. You're authorizing me to document your loan for you so you don't have to go through the Spanish Inquisition of income and asset documentation.
Hey, that would have helped you on your recent thing.
Absolutely. Two of my most high-profile clients that I've had in my career – almost gave up on the loan process because it was too cumbersome for their busy lifestyle. There were multiple times where they said, Chad, I'm so frustrated with this loan, I think I'm just going to pay cash. I don't want to. I want to keep my money at 4%. I want the write-off on the mortgage interest.
Right.
But I'm so frustrated, I'm ready to pay cash.
So how do we do this? We get like human resources data services. So you'll order a report from them. It'll come into my software. My software will integrate it with the Fannie Mae automated underwriting. The verification of assets. This is great. You apply online. You enter in your usernames and passwords for your banking accounts. And I mean, you could have an obscure bank. I bet it's on the list. Okay. And then what this does is it sucks in an aggregated asset report. And when I need updated stuff, guess what I do? I log in. Click refresh. I don't go to the client. When I need to verify that earnest money cleared, when I need to verify that gift funds hit, I'm not calling and nagging. I'm clicking refresh,
right?
To keep the sausage making process away from them. So I have to document everything. That hasn't changed. The means by which I'm doing it, wholesale departure from standard procedure.
Right.
It to them, if it feels like a no-doc loan, great.
Right.
What a great experience that is.
But yet the rates of a documented loan.
Well, look, I think that this is not getting adopted at the point of sale by the industry at this time. In fairness, the software wasn't really working until mid-year last year, and then it's awkward. I mean, I've been doing this 20 years, and I remember the first one that I did, I had to stare at it for 48 hours before I called the client and was like, yeah, I just need a photo ID. I mean, it was weird to look at, and it's a real rearrangement of your habits, your work habits as a loan officer. that I think a lot of people are going to have a really hard adjustment to. But, I mean, if you're a client, I mean, imagine you see a house on Zillow or whatever, you call your agent, you want to make an offer, you haven't gotten
because
fully
pre-approved. It's technically already been out there for 3 days, and they think it's day one.
right? Okay, so let's say HomeSpotter, it came on the market 2 minutes ago, and you're like, oh my God, I want to make an offer. Okay, great. I clock myself to see how fast I can do this. I've done one front to back in 28 minutes. Now, imagine that. I have income, asset, employment, not verified and validated. Now, what does that mean? It is not subject to underwriter review. They can't change the income. Can't do it.
Right.
So, is that really a pre-approval or is it an approval?
Right.
I don't know, but what I know is that we're getting very, very close to the point where things set up from a preliminary standpoint are far more absolute if they're originated this way than the old-fashioned way.
Right.
So imagine as a realtor, you get to make an offer on behalf of your client, and you're saying, oh, no, it's not subject to review. It's already been done, and the underwriter doesn't have a say in it. Fannie Mae has already said yes, and they're the ultimate arbiter.
What does this do to close times, too?
Really fast. Okay. Really, yeah. I mean, you still have to, in some case, well, if we get the appraisal waiver, 7-10 days. If we don't, you know, we got to wait for the appraisal.
So you know, we got a minute left. Mm-hmm. Real quick, I want to touch on this. Biggest mistake you see people making in the financing process?
The priority of what they care about and shop for. Most people think it's closing costs and rate. And that's important, but that's fourth place.
What are the top ones?
Rate, the term of the loan. Yep. Should you be taking a 30, a 25, a 20, or a 15? That is where the maximum amount of savings is. Number two, mortgage insurance. Yep. Which structure? I mean, in conventional, there's 22. And then you've got FHA, you've got rural development. They have their respective ones. Look at that. That's where you're going to find your second pot of gold of savings.
Right.
Third, contract structure. With your loan officer, working collaboratively with your realtor, which also oftentimes does not happen. They're considered divisible processes. And I have no idea why that is.
No, this is a team process. But a lot of people don't get that.
Yeah, so if you're on the same page, like, are you using seller paid closing costs? Are you not? What's the best execution of that purchase agreement? Now you know what to shop. Yeah. Until then, you didn't.
Then it's time to start looking at rate.
Now you can talk about rate and closing costs.
All right. Well, thank you again, Charles, for coming in today. Go to housegeeks.com. Find all of our past shows. Lots of great videos. We have more coming out. I got top 5 buyer mistakes video that's going to be coming out real soon. Have a great week. We'll be back.